In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at Exodus 16. The whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. What are they grumbling about? The Israelites said to them, "Would that we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine." Well, they are grumbling. They have a selective memory. They're thinking that they ate bread in Egypt, but they were the slaves of Pharaoh, and they were building his tombs. Oh yes, they have a selective memory. We cannot be Christian grumblers. We need to speak what we need to speak, but not grumble behind people's back. It is better to tell you what you're thinking rather than grumbling behind people's back. That is one thing that will kill the church. Grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. It's awful. It's just awful. It's gossip. And gossip is not good. Gossip is evil. If you've got something to say to somebody, you say it and then leave. But you don't grumble. You don't gossip. Bring to the person that you have something against what you have against them and then leave. It's very important. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Each day the people are to go out and gather their daily portion. Thus will I test them to see whether they will follow my instructions or not." So the Lord is going to rain down manna. Yes, manna. And you know what manna means? If I looked it up in the Hebrew dictionary, what is it? Because that's what the Jews said. What is it? This is the what is it that came down from heaven. "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them in the evening twilight you shall eat flesh. In the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God." And you know what? They had so much meat from quail that it came out their nostrils. It tells us that in the book of Numbers. "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, a dew lay all around the camp. And when the dew evaporated, there on the surface of the desert were fine flakes like hoarfrost on the ground. On seeing it, the Israelites asked one another, 'What is it?'" Exactly. What is it? It's manna. Manna equals what is it? What is it? "For they did not know that it what it was. But Moses told them, 'This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Now this manna is but a shadow of the bread of life. This manna is but a shadow of the bread of life. John 6:24-35. We remember that Jesus just multiplied bread and fish in the desert. And we remember that this bread had seven containers filled after they ate with the scraps. Seven containers filled with scraps. "When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boat and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus." They all want a touch from Jesus. They're sick. They need a touch from Jesus. So they run over to Capernaum where Jesus is. "And when they found Jesus across the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled.'" They were bread and butter Christians. They want this to keep on happening. They want signs and wonders. Yes, God will give signs and wonders, but only according to his will. Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." So this is the this is the bread of heaven. "For on him the Father has set his seal." What is the seal on Jesus? The Holy Spirit. So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works," plural, "of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work," singular, "of God, that you believe in the one that he sent." Do you believe in the one that the Father sent? This is the work of God, to believe in Jesus, to give our life to Jesus, to live for Jesus. Oh, yes. So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" He already did the sign. He already multiplied the bread and the fish, but they want another sign. What can you do? Our ancestors ate, what is it, manna, in the desert, as it is written, "He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven," that's Jesus, "and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." I tell you, Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life can mean the Word of God as well as the Eucharist. I am the bread of life. Jesus in another place is going to say, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Talking about the Eucharist, that Jesus gave us himself as Eucharist and the Word of God before the Eucharist. That's why only the Word of God can be read at Mass. No other words should be read at Mass but the Word of God. Why? Because it's the bread of life. And Jesus himself is the bread of life that he gives us in the sacrament of Holy Communion, in the sacrament of the Eucharist. I know two miracles that happened at the Eucharist. I'll share them with you. There was a little boy that was sick, and Sister Breege McKenna was doing a retreat, and the priest was celebrating the Eucharist. They put the sick boy underneath the altar. At the end of the Mass, the child was completely healed. Completely healed. Yes, why? Because it's the bread of life. Because it's the body and blood of Christ. You know, most healings should be taking place at the Eucharist because we receive the body and blood of Christ at the Eucharist. But people don't believe that they're going to be healed. This is the place where healing should be taking place, at the body and blood of Christ, at the altar where Jesus gives himself to us. Then there was another miracle. I've shared this with you before. Father Adam talked about discipleship. And this little man at the end of Mass said, "I am a disciple of Jesus." Adam says, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because I tell you, I was blind in both eyes. And when the priest raised up the body of Christ, my left eye was healed. And when he raised up the blood of Christ, my right eye was healed. And I have given my life to Jesus Christ. I am his disciple. I do what he wants me to do." And so we have the bread of life, Jesus giving us his bread. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats of me will live because of me." This is the bread come down from heaven. This body and blood of Christ. Not like what your ancestors ate in the desert and died. Those who eat this bread, the body and blood of Christ, will live forever. "For the bread that I shall give you is my flesh for the life of the world to come." Oh yes, my flesh for the life of the world to come. And you know what? In John 6:66, the many disciples left Jesus because they thought he was talking about cannibalism. But he would give us his flesh and blood at the Last Supper, that we would receive that flesh and blood until he comes back in glory. And that's true. That's true. Do you know how powerful the Eucharist is? Do you know how powerful it is to receive the body and blood of Christ? Has it become just a ritual for you? Is it your life? Is it your life to receive the body and blood of Christ? Is much more than a ritual. It is our life. He gives us his life at the altar. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I'm telling you this, my friends, when you go to the Eucharist, expect to be healed. Why? Because it is the very body and blood of Jesus. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Simple as that. It is Jesus himself. Yesterday we spoke about what happens in Planned Parenthood. I want to just repeat a couple of things right now. In Planned Parenthood, they call the baby tissue, but this tissue has hearts and liver and lungs and kidneys. That's not tissue, it is a baby. And they have been selling the kidneys and the hearts, the liver and the lungs to people for research. They get between $30 and $100 depending upon what people want. And I'm telling you, this is butchery. This is butchery. They call it tissue. But if you're going to lie, it's easy to lie when you've killed, because they kill the baby in the womb. If you kill, you lie. If you kill, you'll steal. If you kill, you'll sell the body parts. I'm telling you, what about the mothers that are hearing this, that have had abortions, and they were told that this is just tissue? This is just tissue. I'm telling you this, the poor mothers are finding out that the tissue were really babies. We've been saying that from the beginning of time, that the tissue is really a baby. It's not tissue. It's a baby with arms and legs and eyes and all these things developing. So the butchers will take the kidneys and the hearts and the liver and the lungs and sell them, sell baby parts. This is wrong. This is what happens in Planned Parenthood. This is what happens. I don't know if it happens in Boston, but I know it does happen in other places. And remember the news that we heard about it. Very little news. We heard all about a lion being shot rather than the news of selling kidneys and hearts, livers and lungs. I'm telling you, the world has gone absolutely crazy, and we need to stand up for the children, because we are the only voice of the children. We need to stand up for the people that are being persecuted throughout the world for the sake of Jesus, because we are their voice. We must remember that God wants us to stand up for the people that cannot stand up for themselves. That means to stand up for the babies in the womb and stand up for the mothers. We need to stand up for the people that are being persecuted, because we have a voice. But we need to pray that God would stop this persecution of Christians, which is taking place in the Middle East and in China. We need to do that. And if we don't do it, you know what? God will hold us responsible. God will hold us all responsible. We are responsible for our brothers and sisters. We are responsible for what happens to them. So we've looked at the bread of life, that Jesus himself is the bread of life. He is the bread come down from heaven, and that could mean his word and the Eucharist. But then he talks about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That has to be the Eucharist. And we believe that we receive at the altar the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. We're looking at Luke 9. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, those are the apostles, and gave them power and authority over the devil and to cure all diseases and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Things haven't changed. We need to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. Why? Because he is enough. Neither staff, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats. Just bring yourself and sandals, and whatever house you enter into, abide there, and then depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. That's terrible. That's terrible. If they did not receive the disciples, they were to go outside of the city, outside of the town, and shake the dust off their feet. I told you the story of me being on radio in St. Louis, and I got a call from a new manager, an upstart. He said, you're going off the air because we want names. And I said to him, sir, you're planting stones, and stones don't grow. I've been on this radio station for years, and I just received a call last week at 3 a.m. from somebody who needed prayer, and they were from St. Louis. You're going to get names, but what happens to the little people that I speak to? I said, you know what I'm going to do, sir? I'm going to shake the dust off my feet, as Jesus told me, as a reproach against you. He got very upset. He got very upset. He said, I'm sorry. I said, well, you know what? I accept your apology, but now you are responsible for all these little people, because I speak to the little people. I do not speak only to the ones that know. I speak to the ones that have not much, that don't know, so that they will know that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus died for their sins, and Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. I speak to people like that. And you know, I left the place, and the next Monday I received a call from another man, and I'm on now in St. Louis, I believe, for half an hour a day. Let me tell you, this is God's work. We've been doing God's work since 1984. This is not my work. This is God's work. This is the work of the bread come down from heaven. Because who is going to preach about the Eucharist? Who is going to preach about the body and blood of Christ except a Catholic or an Orthodox or maybe a Lutheran? Who is going to preach about the body and blood of Christ? Who's going to preach it? Only Catholics and Orthodox for the most part. For the most part. And I'm on stations that are called Christian stations, and they never hear about the body and blood of Christ. But many of them are Catholics that have left the Catholic Church. They left something they didn't ever know what it was, that God gives us at the altar his body and blood to eat, the body and blood of Christ. The multiplication of the bread and the fish was the symbol. Was the symbol. The body in Christ and the blood of Christ is the reality. Reality, yes. The Jewish people want signs. Jesus gave them signs, but it wasn't good enough. Now the sign he's going to give them is, I am the bread of life, the bread that comes down from heaven. He who eats this bread shall live forever. This is all what Jesus talks about. Let's continue. The death of John the Baptist. Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because there was said of someone that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see Jesus. Yeah, he wants Jesus to do some kind of little miracle in his sight. I tell you, miracles happen to those who have faith. Today we saw Jesus walking on the water at Mass. Oh yes, and Peter getting out of the boat and walking until he realized what he was doing because the wind was howling. But you see, it takes faith to get out of the boat. I don't say, Peter, you sank, you had no faith. He was the only one that got out of the boat. I say at least he had some faith. The other 11 were sitting in the boat. They were comfortable. But Peter leaves the boat. Why? Because he believes. But you know what? The wind and the howling caused him to sink. And he says, Lord, save me, lest I perish. And Jesus took him by the hand and said, oh, you of little faith. And if Peter is called little faith, what about the other 11? No faith at all. No faith at all. No faith at all. At least Peter had little faith. And the apostles, when they were returned, told Jesus all they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into the desert belonging to the city of Bethsaida. So Jesus hears what they've done, but he wants them to rest for a while. He wants them to be quiet, to reflect upon what happened, that they cast out demons, that they healed the sick, as they proclaimed the kingdom of God. And the people, when they knew it, followed Jesus, and he received them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had all need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto Jesus, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and into the country around about, and lodge and get food, for we are here in a deserted place. We are here in a desert place. Send them to the towns so that they can get food. We know what Jesus is going to do. And he said unto them, you give them something to eat. I'm telling priests and deacons and catechists, you give the people something to eat. Nothing less than Jesus Christ. Nothing less than the power of the Holy Spirit. We give the people something to eat. I've seen multiplication taking place, but I'm talking about what do we give the people at the homily? Are we giving them something to eat, something to gnaw on? Are we giving them the body and blood of Christ as well as the word of salvation? What are we giving the people? We need to give them something to eat so for the rest of the week they have something to gnaw upon. Today, Daniel said to me, once I was sitting in the pew and you called a lot of people pew potatoes. He says, I got angry. But I went home and I started to meditate. Am I a pew potato? Do I just sit in the pew and I don't get anything? He said, you know what? I got changed. I could change because I reflected upon what you said. I didn't want to be a pew potato anymore. I wanted to do the will of the Father. I wanted to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is real. This is real. That's what the Word of God does. You give them something to eat. That is the... That's what Jesus says to the apostles. You give them something to eat. They're going to multiply bread again and fish. It says it in Luke 9. But we need to feed on the Word of God. We need to feed on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that the Spirit of God is the Spirit that came upon Jesus at his baptism. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is always for us and he's not against us. We need to remember that if we have selective memories, you know what I'm saying? We need to start looking and saying, what are the things that God has done for me? I'm not going to moan and grumble. I'm going to see the things God has done for me, and I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all the times that you've saved me, for all the times that you've given me yourself. Thank you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Help us to always be grateful. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our July bills, which come to $26,000. The mail has been very slow. You can go online, www.inseason.net, and you can leave money online, or you can call, or you can write to us, Father Tom, Post Office 602, East Boston, Mass. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. We need $26,000 to pay for our July bills. And I trust in the Lord, the bread of life, that he will give it to us. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.